Where is it written? We're going to start a new series, and I'd like to introduce it at this beginning of the year. And there's a lot of things I want to share from this series. And before we jump into it, you know, basically over the next couple of weeks, I want to really look at God's Word and what God's Word has to say with some of the most, I believe, important and relevant topics in our world and culture, and I'll share a little bit of what some of those might be towards the end of the message. But I think before we find ourselves jumping into tackling some of the pressing issues of our time and our day, I think it's very important to take a step back and look at how we read God's Word. And so whether you are in a place where you're not sure where you are with God and you know the Bible is pretty important but you've never read it cover to cover before, or you have read it cover to cover dozens and dozens of times, as a lot of us have, as I have in my life and still learning so much, we wanted to begin laying a foundation of what is a relationship to the Scriptures, to the Bible itself. And I think that this is one of the most important questions that we can take a look at, because our faith stands or falls in the Word of God, by the Word of God. And yet, even in our days today, there are so many different perspectives and views on how we relate and understand God's Word and how we apply it. So I want to lay a little bit of foundation to think about that before we jump into the heart of this series over the next couple of weeks. Psalm 119, 97 to 104 is what I'd like to begin with. And we have the Bibles back in the under the chair, so you can look at that. I brought mine up here today. Or you can look up on the screen, whatever you're most comfortable with. Or if you're at home watching live stream, you can look on the screen as well, or have your Bibles open or your apps or what have you. Psalm 119, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." In the 90s, after graduating from seminary, I took a position, a call, Natasha talking about, for us who are in ministry, our first job or in between jobs, and so it was in the Deep South in Houston, Texas. And during the Sunday evenings, after finishing my responsibilities at my church, there was a significant and growing church called Lakewood Church that some of you may have heard of in Houston. And I remember Pastor John Osteen, founding pastor of Lakewood Church, would get up to preach. He would hold up his Bible, and I don't have his twang, but some of you may be familiar with this. "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I will boldly confess. My mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same, I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same, never, 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 I will never be the same, in the name of Jesus, amen." Every single person who's part of that church were lifting up their Bibles high and literally shouting this quote, this saying. It was very moving, and after John Osteen passed away, Joel Osteen, which I think you guys know he has a little church also, taken over from his dad, that I've also worshipped at. Amazing. Houston Rockets used to play in that arena. They would say the same thing. I bring that up because that quote, as moving as it is, and I was moved hearing it, raises a lot of questions, though, that I think really falls in line with us beginning to explore our relationship with the Word of God. I can do what it says I can do. Can we really? And so it really raises the question, and I just remember that saying and thousands of people lifting up their Bibles. It was a beautiful thing, but it raises a lot of questions. More than just the content of the scriptures, the Bible, as important as that is, the way in which we view scriptures is critically important. There's a word theologians have for that. That's called hermeneutics. And that refers to the glasses that you have on as you lift up your Bible. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do, and so on and so forth. It's not what you look at, but it's how you look at it. Hermeneutics is really the art, in some ways, the science of biblical interpretation. It's opening up the Bible, reading it, looking at a specific text, and asking, what does it mean? And at the same time, what does it mean for me as a believer, a Christ follower, a person who's trying to find their way back to God, that is not only centuries but millennia removed from when it was originally written? This ancient text. In other words, what is the bridge and the lens by which, when we open up God's Word, that we not only understand what it says, but what does it mean, and what does it mean to me and to God's church, his people, 2 millennium since it was written, and even more for the Old Testament. And so I don't care how long that you've attended church, or you maybe have read the Bible cover to cover even more than me, we're all learning. We're all growing. We're all journeying to the day we live our last day on earth. We're still discovering and learning more about God, and very much related to that, trying to understand more of his word. Whenever we say that we've arrived and we have it all set and we understand it completely, I don't believe you, because none of us have arrived in that sense. And so over the years of my journey as a committed Christ follower, I have read the Bible quite a bit over the years and had a lot of questions. I still do. And when I get to a lot of my very godly pastor friends, they do as well, and we talk about it, and we seek counsel, and we read other books, and try to glean from the knowledge of those who really specialize in understanding the scriptures. And I came across a book that's been out for about a decade or so, a little more, called The Blue Parakeet by Pastor and Dr. Scott McKnight, who teaches at New Testament at Northern Seminary. He was formerly a Baptist school, but was also a professor at Covenant Seminary as well, North Park in Chicago, before he moved to Northern Seminary. He's a world-renowned speaker, writer, professor, equipper of the church. He came out with something called The Jesus Creed, which is a book and one of the most well-read blogs on Christianity and culture, and he's amazing. In fact, our key leaders and governance board are reading one of his latest book called A Church Called Tov. And so, coming across this book, it really, in many ways, captured for me a lot of the questions and concerns that I've always had over the decades that I couldn't really put words to, and coming across this pretty simple written book, The Blue Parakeet, rethinking how you read the Bible really was impactful for me. And in the pages of this book, he helped capture, I believe, a lot of the things that helped me ask the right questions. And I hope, as I share some of these things, that will also be the same for you as well. Blue parakeet. Well, growing up in Chicago, we had long winters, and I remember going to the pet store, and we raised gerbils, and we raised parakeets, and a lot of tropical fish, all of which died in masses. but we had many, many parakeets, including a blue parakeet, so this brings a lot of warmth from my childhood days. And why it's called this is fascinating. Scott McKnight and his wife are avid bird watchers. I am not. I don't really get it, why that is so exciting. Not to knock anyone who's a bird watcher. I'm sure that I would benefit from observing birds in their natural habitat. So they set up a bird feeder in their home. And one day in 2007, he, in his introduction to this book, talks about how he saw a flash of blue that captured his attention. And he's like, what was that? And he said, was it a blue jay? No, too small. Was it an eastern bluebird? No, the blue was too soft. Was it an indigo bunting? I don't even know what that is. No, it was too large. Mountain bluebird? No, they're only in the Rocky Mountains. He was totally confused and trying to figure out, what is this blue bird? And finally, when he got his eyes on it, he realized it was an escaped parakeet from someone's house that was living in the wilds of, I believe, suburban Chicago, if I'm correct. Maybe it was one of my birds that got away when I grew up and it survived for generations. I don't know. But what's fascinating is that once he identified this mysterious blue bird, it's just a parakeet, whatever, and he completely lost interest, dismissed it, and went on to look for other birds that would capture his attention, imagination, and curiosity. But then he went back and thought about it. Is that the right thing to do when I see something that is very unusual, hard to put together? Maybe this blue parakeet that escaped from someone's home as a pet may have one or two things to teach me. And so what he did was he began to observe this parakeet and was fascinated, mesmerized, and realized that it would have been a huge mistake to just have dismissed this blue parakeet. And Professor Scott, as he thought about this, related this to the scriptures, that when I, from his perspective, comes across passages in the Bible, whether it be in the Old Testament or New, that don't make sense, we don't know how to interpret, causes confusion, causes a lot of dissenting opinions in a small group or a Bible study or a class or on a Sunday from the pulpit, he calls those blue parakeet experiences. Fascinating. And he says, rather than just dismissing them, he says, when we encounter blue parakeets in the Bible or in the questions of others, whether we think of something as simple as a Sabbath or foot washing or as complex and emotional as women in the church or homosexuality, we have to stop and think, what is the Bible really saying? That's what he calls a blue parakeet. Chance encounters with blue parakeet passages that are found in the Bible should not be dismissed, but should be an opportunity to observe and learn. I thought that was great. And so, thus, an introduction a little bit to Scott McKnight's book. And if you are a reader, which I naturally would like to watch TV, to be honest, and read. I love reading as well, but if I could entice you to get a copy of his book, make your way through it in a week or so, I would be delighted, and this will help tremendously as we make our way with some of the questions that he brings up as we begin to look at some of the pretty important and relevant issues of our day and time. So here we go. Some of us, as we think about what is our lens, what is our relationship to the scripture? Some of us, when I raised my Bible and pretended we were Lakewood Church for a few moments, were really moved by the saying that John Osteen came up with, and then now led by Joel Osteen, that they say every Sunday before the sermon begins, they, in thousands, as it is a massive megachurch, recite and almost shout out. Some of us resonate with that. And the phrase that you yourself may have even uttered is, God said it, I believe it, and what? That settles it for me. Has anyone ever heard that phrase before? Some of you have quoted it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. And I understand exactly why so many believers in today's evangelical church would resonate with that. But Scott McKnight, right out of the gate, really challenges us with that understanding of Scripture. And he says, you may say that, but do you really believe that, and do you really follow that in your life? He says that all of us, no matter how long we've been a Christian, how sincere we love Jesus and we love the Word of God, all of us pick and choose. All of us pick and choose what we find in the scriptures and how it applies to us in our lives. He caught my attention when he said, one, we believe everything the Bible says, therefore, secondly, we practice whatever the Bible says, and number three, hogwash. Hogwash. All of us pick and choose, he says. But the deeper question is how we pick and choose the parts of the Bible that we apply in our lives. Bless you, my friend. The Sabbath, Exodus 20, Saturday. It's alluded to in the book of Acts. Why don't we keep it? It's in the Bible. God said it. I believe it. That settles it for me. Old Testament tithing, and I will address this in this series. You're to give a portion of your income to the Levite, the priest, but also to the marginalized, the suffering, the alien, the fatherless. Are we all sacrificially and generously practicing that? That's what the Bible says. God said it. I believe it. It settles it for me. Are we doing it? Probably not all of us. We all pick and choose. Foot washing. When was the last time that you washed your own feet? No. When was the last time when Jesus said, if then I, Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. The early church actually practiced this as a regular part of their worship gatherings, and even St. Augustine, 350 years after the founding of the New Testament church. Charismatic gifts, speaking in tongues, prophecy, the prophetic word. We see it talked about and practiced Why don't some of you do this? Why don't I do this? Selling all your possessions and giving it to the poor. Luke 12:33. Saint Francis did this. Why don't we? Christians read the Bible differently. And no one individual or one group or denomination or tradition gets it all right. There is plenty of picking and choosing on both sides of every question that we have, that we find in the scriptures and related to so many aspects of our lives. So the question really goes back to us today. How are we to live out the scripture in the Bible today? It's very, very hard to admit that we do pick and choose, but in reality, when we think about it, is forbidden for men to have longer hair or women to have shorter hair or to practice capital punishment, and those that aren't faithful in their marriages. The list can go on and on and on, and I think he raises some really good points, and it may even disturb you that you yourself pick and choose, and our church does pick and choose, and I have picked and chosen. That may disturb you, but I think as we begin to delve more deeply into this, need to ask ourselves those questions. And so this is where we find ourselves at as we begin to think about our relationship to the Word of God. How do we interpret it? How then do we apply it to our lives? And what do we do with the blue parakeets of Scripture that we find that can be disturbing, upsetting, convicting? What do we do with those things? Do we just, well, whatever, and move on to your favorite gospel, the Gospel of John, or what have you? I love John's gospel, so I'm not knocking it in any way. But can you see, as we together, guided by Scott McKnight, can begin to take a step back and really ask ourselves, how do we look at the scriptures? What is our relationship to the scriptures? And what do we do with passages like, as Scott McKnight describes, as blue parakeets? What do we do with them? I believe that as we begin to ask these questions, it's not just for us, no matter what stage of life you're in or how old you are, but we are also, as we ask ourselves these questions, are setting the pace for the generations to come. In a survey done to InterVarsity students, some of you guys have heard of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Pretty solid. It was on my campus back in the 80s. Urbana Missions Conference, I attended several of those. Great discipleship. They did a survey among their students, college students today, committed Christ followers. And they asked them, what are the top 10 concerns or social issues that you have today? This is not mine. This would not necessarily be my list. This probably is not many of yours, or might be. But can I share them with you of what are some of the grave concerns of committed Christ followers in the college age today? Racial justice, climate change, foster care adoption, orphan care, reducing abortion, religious tolerance, freedom, criminal justice reform, global poverty, number 8, healthcare, poverty in America, number 9, and economic inequality. Now, some of you listen to that list and say, they've been influenced and hijacked by the progressive left. Maybe there is some influence there. But these are the answers given by today's younger generation of Christ followers. And my question is this, and I'll get ready to end. I actually have another 30 minutes to go, but I will hold off on it. If these are the concerns that our children or grandchildren, maybe it's not exactly their list, but Interverse Christian Fellowship, pretty respectable Christian organization, we may or may not have those 10 things in our list, and maybe some of that is pretty upsetting to you, and I understand that. But how are we equipping the younger and next generation to look into the scriptures to provide the guidance and truth for their generation and their time? It's not just feed me more because I want to grow. Yes, we need that. But how are we teaching the scriptures and teaching the next generation to be able to not just write off God's word as some irrelevant ancient document that is no different than the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, or the Torah, or what have you? If this is where the next generation is at, and I believe God's word is God's word and speaks to every generation throughout all time in their ways that they can understand, we need to take time to really ask ourselves the question of how are we not only understanding God's word, but how are we showing the next generation how they can really find God's truth in the scriptures that will help guide them through the confusion, the pain, the tension of what we are finding in our world today. This we have not done well. And I hope and pray that as we begin to look at some of these questions, some of these things we will hit over the next couple of weeks. My hope and prayer is that we would grow in our understanding of God's word, become more passionate lovers of Jesus, and begin to be open to the different ways in which God does speak through his word, not only for our generation, but the ones to come. And so with that, I think I've got a lot of people's attention this morning, which is great. I'm going to pause here as we wrap up our time together this morning. I've been thinking a lot about this and wrestling. Is this a series that I want to jump into at the beginning of the year? And as I thought about it and all the things that are going on in our world, and I myself having younger children, I really feel it's a critical, critical question we need to ask ourselves as we think about how do we bring the truth of God's word into our world today to bring the power and love of the person of Jesus to a world that is hungry and thirsty and so lost. And so, are you guys looking forward to this journey with me? I hope that it will be a good one. And it will stretch you. Some of it will upset you. Some of you will write me some emails questioning a lot of things. It's okay. Just don't send them Saturday night or Sunday morning, and I'll get back to you. And with that, I'm going to pause and lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll get ready to invite the worship team to close us out. Let's pray together. Lord, the early covenanters had this phrase, where is it written? Driving us back to the word of God, your eternal truth. And as it was for them in their day, in their time, so we confess it is so with us today that so desperately needs your living word in our lives. I pray that you will help us grow in our understanding of your word and your heart and your plans and your character for our lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we think about not only the generation that we individually belong to, but in the generations to come. Help us, Lord, navigate some of the difficult and challenging issues of our time. Help us to have the wisdom and the patience and the fortitude when we find blue parakeets in Scripture that we often don't know what to do with. Help us to pursue you as you pursue us. And so we give you thanks, Father, and we lift up ourselves to you, that you would help us grow in a hunger as the psalmist cries out, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." May that be our reality and conviction and song of our hearts as we work our way through the series and throughout this year, in Jesus' name.